People in the tech world are used to throwing around terms and acronyms that draw blank stares from non-techies. We're used to that, and it can be fun. But even the geekiest of us sometimes struggle to keep up with the latest. And some of these concepts are becoming so integral to the future, the very near future, of computing, that it is essential that they be understood thoroughly. Plus, not all terms have one agreed-upon standard definition. Think Web 2.0. There's a little of that ambiguity in a couple of the terms that we hear about in this podcast. Listen as Microsoft's Woody Walton explains some of the terms that are generating buzz, like the cloud, virtualization, Hyper-V, and more.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show.
Today we're speaking with Woody Walton of Microsoft. Woody, tell us what you do for Microsoft.
Well, I'm a partner solutions advisor, so I help Microsoft partners out there, the people that make their living selling and supporting our technologies, I better educate them on the technologies and how they can sell them and support them.
I have to start off. I know your home base is in Kansas City, and both the Browns and the Chiefs have had some upheavals this past season. What do you think is going to happen in the upcoming season for the Chiefs?
Well, it has to get better, doesn't it? I know there's been a complete changing of the guard with the Chiefs management. People in the city are pretty happy about that, so we'll see. It's one of the youngest teams in the NFL, so we'll see what happens next year.
All right. You know, a few months ago, we asked probably about 100 people to define Web 2.0 for us and probably got 100 different answers. And there's a lot of terms out there that people have some doubt about, or they think they know it, but they don't know it completely. And I'd like to ask you a few of these and how you would define some of these. For example, how would you explain the cloud?
Well, I would explain the cloud as basically, my take on it is like the repositories on the internet that are managed by typically larger organizations that have, you know, the pockets to do so, that can provide services. They have the back-end infrastructure to provide a wealth of services to individuals that may need it, whether that be storage, whether that be, you know, applications hosted, whether that be email or many other things.
You know, we hear terms such as software as a service or software plus services. Are those the same thing, and what are they?
Okay, they are not the exact same thing. Software as a service is the idea that you can get a great user experience by simply using a browser and accessing a service of some type in the cloud, whether that's an application that allows you to interact with your customers or your business partners or allows you to get your job done more quickly. But it would be exclusively hosted in the cloud, and then you would use a browser or something very thin client-wise to get access to it. Software plus services, on the other hand, is taking the view that you really get the best experience when you have those rich services up in the cloud, on the internet, but yet you have another application that's running locally, say on Windows, that bolsters your experience and allows you to get the most out of it. So, for instance, like an offline application, when you're disconnected, well, if it's a service in the cloud only, you know, you're dead. Whereas if you have an offline solution on the client, you get your job done, you reconnect, you hit that service, you get everything you need done, and you're good to go.
Now, is this software services and software plus services, is this far in the future? I mean, most of us are used to storing things locally and running apps locally and all that, but are you seeing trends where we're moving that way?
Well, it's an industry trend. There's a lot of traction on it. You hear a lot about it in the trade rags, but I would say that research firms like Gartner have said that by, you know, 2011, just a few years from now, 25% of all software will be hosted as a service. You know, it's yet to be seen whether we'll progress that quickly. And ultimately, I think it's going to take some time because, you know, people are accustomed, like you say, to running things locally. And so, you know, there's a comfort level in that. I can see it. It's tangible. It's right here. Whereas if I move it out there, I don't have as much control. I'm a little concerned about that. So I think this transition will occur, but I think it's going to be maybe slower than some people think or estimate.
Okay, the computer industry is notorious for its acronyms, and there's a few fairly new ones from Microsoft that I have to ask you about. First is MOS. What's that?
Microsoft Online Services.
Okay, and what are Microsoft Online Services?
Okay, well, Microsoft Online Services are business class services that we're providing to customers that are sold with partners. So These things would be like Exchange, Mail, Online, SharePoint, which is for collaboration, online, hosted, and then things like Live Meeting, which is a conferencing solution, Office Communications Online, which allows you to do IM, instant messaging, across your organization and then with others, and then also control and audit that, see, you know, what's going on, and then knowing where people are based on their presence with those instant messenger clients.
So for a small business scenario, for example, maybe they have a server that they're using for file and print, but they don't have Exchange or they don't have SharePoint or any of that. Would Microsoft Online Services supplement what they have existing, or would it replace it? Would they need those servers in-house also?
Well, I think it's a matter of choice and what's best for the customer. But what we're seeing from partners and people that are working with customers on a daily basis is that most of the really good candidates for online services are people that aren't already hosting those services locally. So they're not running a local mail server like Exchange server. They're actually, you know, using something like POP3 mail through an internet service provider, or they're leveraging some other online service, or they don't even have mail. There's a lot of companies, 60% of companies don't even have email. So it's typically new opportunities rather than supplanting servers that were on-premise with now services in the cloud.
You know, probably the two big concerns with online services in the cloud, software as a service and all, is security and downtime. You can kind of control downtime when it's in-house, and security, you know, you don't want your data to be outsourced to some third world country or just to be out of your control. How do Microsoft Online Services handle security and downtime?
Okay. Well, first of all, I would state that over 60% of security breaches are physical breaches of security. And so if your data, for lack of a better term, is housed in one of Microsoft's data centers, let's say your online services information, things that are in email or in SharePoint, then you know those are locked down. We follow industry guidelines. I mean, there's barbed wire fence and all that kind of stuff, and we limit physical access to an absolute minimum. So the biggest way that data and security are compromised is overcome there. But also we have multiple levels of security. So we have N+1 architected into it. So everything is duplicated. Disks are duplicated. Machines are duplicated. Network cards, switches, routers. I mean, everything. So that's another way that we help with reliability and security. And then, of course, we've got our world-class products protecting the infrastructure. So we've got, say, for instance, our Forefront line of products, which provides security. In this case, an example would be Exchange Server. And we run, can run up to 5 antivirus engines on all of that mail continuously. Typically, we pick 3 and run 3 against the mail all the time. But we have application-level security, physical security, server-level security. I mean, it's a full meal deal.
Another term that's you can't pick up the trade press without seeing it is virtualization. What, in a nutshell, is virtualization, and why would you want to use it?
Well, virtualization means many things to many people, but essentially, virtualization is abstracting a operating system or an application from other applications, other operating systems, or the hardware that it depends upon. And the benefit is that we disassociate what used to be a very close association between all of those things. And when we do that, it gives us a tremendous amount of versatility in what we can do. So now we have basically all these modules that are separate, and they don't rely upon one another, and we can move them around just like shuffling pieces on the checkerboard. So for the biggest reason a lot of people want to use it is consolidation. So we can take 4 or 5 physical machines and reduce them down to 1, because a lot of times those machines aren't being utilized too heavily. But since we don't have that strict dependence on the hardware, since we've decoupled it, we could just pick up 4 or 5 of these virtual machines and drop them on 1 physical box. So numerous advantages there, and not to mention there are many types of virtualization besides server virtualization. So we have application virtualization, we have presentation virtualization like terminal services, we have desktop virtualization, all sorts.
Do you find that companies are being quick or eager to adopt virtualization?
I think many companies, based on the studies that we've seen and the experiences we've had, are excited about the prospect that virtualization holds to help them. But the uptake is slower in the smaller and medium business space. But well over 60%, actually 70-some-odd% of companies are expecting to deploy virtualization technologies to streamline their operations very shortly.
The big buzzword in the virtualization space is Hyper-V. What's Hyper-V?
Well, Hyper-V was released shortly after we released Windows Server 2008. It is a new hypervisor-based virtualization technology. So basically, it replaces our previous product, Virtual Server 2005, but because it's hypervisor-based, it's much more lightweight. It's performance-wise, performance is much better, security is much better. When you buy a Windows Server, you can buy it with Hyper-V so that you can virtualize that server and or other virtual machines on that server.
Yeah, I think one of the questions people have with virtualization and perhaps Hyper-V in particular is how scalable is it? You know, is it going to be robust enough to take some of the hits that people might throw against it?
Yeah, excellent question. And I think the only thing I could really say to reference just how scalable Hyper-V is if you look at places like Microsoft.com, one of the world's biggest websites, that's running 50% on Hyper-V right now, the servers. And if you look at TechNet and MSDN websites for any technical people in your audience, those are run 100% on Hyper-V, and it scales very nicely. I mean, it has to be architected correctly, but when you architect and manage it appropriately, the sky's the limit.
You know, some of us who have been around for a long time, we see the paradigm of the cloud and throw-in virtualization, and it sure sounds pretty familiar to the old mainframe terminal days. How have we, is this just we're recycling ideas from 40, 50 years ago?
That's an excellent point and observation you've made, Dan, because it really is. Virtualization's well over 40 years old at this point, and I mean, I would say that in a lot of ways we've come full circle, but I think at the same time, we'll never completely get back to that old model because, what we're doing in the cloud now is so different than, just the dredging of the data inside of the, a mainframe computer and, really simple applications, billing applications and things like that. I mean, I think that it's been a shift and it's come full circle, but at the same time, I think it's a lot more colorful and a lot more interesting what we'll be able to do here because the versatility is so much more profound than it was in the past. And I'm really not an expert on that, so I can't comment with authority.
All right, listeners, be sure to follow the links on this site to Woody's blog. It's got a lot of interesting stuff there and some good links. And we've been speaking with Woody Walton today at Microsoft. But Woody, just on a light note, in closing, you and your wife are expecting a baby, and it's a baby girl. And I hear you have her first outfit picked out.
Yes, I do. She's going to be wearing an I'm a PC onesie. It's going to be hot pink, much to my chagrin. So that'll be nice. So all my peers and coworkers and my boss will know that I'm totally party line and support my company, right?
All right, we've got another PC user on the way. So congratulations, Woody. And we've been speaking with Woody Walton. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.